Welcome to Cheese, Wine, and Christmas, the magical podcast that will help you navigate the crowded world of sentimental holiday specials. Join hosts Brendan Bowes and Deirdre McCarthy as they discuss, critique, and lay bare your favorite Christmas movie tropes. So spike that eggnog and get ready for today's Cheese, Wine, and Christmas.
Well. This was a delight.
Yeah, well, so the fun of doing this podcast is we get all sorts of different types of Christmas movies.
Funny how all of them have a bunch of the same stuff, though.
And then we get something like this, which does have some of the regular tropes, but then adds like 12 layers that we would never expect.
Yeah, so Father Christmas is back as today's fine, festive, fun film.
Wow, that was a lot of F's.
That was alliteration. That's what that is. yeah, I haven't drank too much yet. So, although I really should have had a drink or two to handle this particular movie. So why don't you tell everybody who was in this movie that's famous?
Well, so this movie is British. So some of the other actors may be more famous in Britain. However, the ones that stood out are Elizabeth Hurley. Mm-hmm. From Austin Powers and something else I'm not sure of. So one of the other more famous celebrities is John Cleese of Monty Python fame. And there was also Kelsey Grammer of Frasier fame.
Yes. So let's...
There's a lot to unpack.
So much to unpack. So first of all, you know when you watched kids' movies when you were younger, like, I don't know, anything on Nickelodeon or, you know, way back old time Pippi Longstocking or Herbie the Love Bug or any of
like
those.
The Disney movies from like the 70s and...
Yeah, where 90s. Everything is a little bit over the top. Like it's a real storyline, but people are always popping out from outside of doors with wide-eyed expressions.
And funny sound effects. Funny, in the
yes. And music underlying everything to sort of give you the mood, like chase scene music or dramatic music or whatever.
A lot of overreacting.
Yes, lots and lots of overreacting. I think actually overreacting is more accurate than overacting because it's like some of the acting's okay, but then their expression is over the top.
Oh, based upon what's happening. Yeah, okay, right.
Yeah.
Very true.
So anyway, this was like an adult movie, but with all of that.
Correct.
Lots of popping up from places with weird expressions and
a producer went to a writer and said, hey, can you write a kid's movie, but make it adult?
Yes, and make it adult by having gratuitous shots of people's butts in underwear.
In the first 20 seconds.
Naked in showers, Elizabeth Hurley naked in the shower, and lots of references to who's getting laid and who's not.
And cleavage shots every 25 minutes.
And everybody's getting laid somewhere.
At some point.
At some point along the way. Okay, so we open, as we often do in a Christmas special, in England in a castle, because... Yep.
Trope number one.
And for no reason, we have a couple with their two kids, and they're all English. And the wife, what was her name in the movie?
Caroline.
Caroline is a perfectionist, A-type personality, very worried about the tree. So we've got that sort of trope of that person.
Very proper family. Mm-hmm. Character.
Yeah, and her laid-back husband and their two kids. So she's getting ready, and of course it's really important to her that Christmas be perfect, as if the whole world will end if it's not, which is also a trope that we see.
And, I mean, this isn't much of a spoiler, it's just her character. Her last name is Christmas.
Mm. For no reason other than it sets up the name of the movie correctly, which we'll get to in a moment. So her whole family is coming for Christmas. Well, her sisters and her mom, because her dad, it's told us very early on, has abandoned them on Christmas Day. Correct. Of all things.
27 years ago.
Yeah, many moons ago. And so it's just them. But all four sisters hate each other.
They all have their own very distinct, very,
very
unique
stereotypical personality. Because, you know, you do invite your sisters that you hate over to your house for
Correct.
Christmas. By the way, no explanation as to why they hate each other. Like, they should all be survivors together because they missed their dad.
Instead,
they all hate each other. So we've got anal retentive sister throwing Christmas.
Caroline.
Caroline. And then sister number one is?
We'll go with Elizabeth Hurley's character. So she's Joanna, and she's the posh.
Yes, she's posh, very overdressed, lots of dramatic. By the way, stop shots, if you know what I mean, where they show somebody and then they freeze it for a minute so we can get a better look at them. Or they slow motion it so we can see her flipping her hair around. She is in fashion. She gets tons and tons of gorgeous clothes for free. She hates children. She's very, very glamorous, and she's with her latest boyfriend, apparently. Boyfriends don't last more than 3 or 4 months with her.
Correct.
So,
but she's not, pardon my language, she's not a slut.
Nope, she's just fickle, I guess.
Correct.
So she's with her latest. They're in a Rolls Royce. He's rich, and they show up. Then the next sister is?
I guess we'll go with the youngest.
Okay, so the youngest is the wild child. She comes
Vicky.
She comes on a motorcycle, dropped off by some random
dude.
She's the slutty single aunt, right?
Right.
I don't know if you've noticed, this is like the fourth or fifth Christmas special that's had a cool, slutty, single aunt.
Person.
Yeah. So, yeah.
But she's to the kids, she's very cool and very hip. They're the she's the one that they're attracted to in terms of let's hang out with.
Yeah, with Vicky. Auntie Vicky. Yeah. And then the next aunt or the last aunt is
The Beatles one.
Yeah. So this is she's got a very severe short black haircut. She's very academic. She wears like ties and suits, and she's writing.
Lots of black and white.
Yes. She's writing her dissertation on the Beatles, who she's obsessed with. And she's been apparently doing this for years. And for no reason, it's done on an old-fashioned typewriter that she moves from room to room.
Right.
No explanation.
She doesn't get dropped. You don't see a vehicle drop her off. Her establishing shot is her walking the long driveway to the house.
Yep.
Immediately putting your bags down and just going right to the typewriter.
So she's also later going to be revealed for no reason other than, I don't know, political correctness as a lesbian. Apparently she comes out to the family every Christmas. And so she looks, you know, very severe. So they've taken their stereotypical academic and stereotypical lesbian and created a stereotypical academic lesbian.
Right.
Okay. The mom is also there. Yep. Mom is sweet and kind and loves everybody.
Very matriarchy.
Yep. And you immediately see that she's attracted to the John Cleese character. I need to tell you at this point, I say the John Cleese character because we don't actually know who he is.
We had our guesses. And
right,
you know,
but the movie doesn't...
It's not physically established until about 70% in.
And it makes no sense whatsoever. So our first time seeing him, he's actually watching through binoculars and seeing everybody arrive.
Like kind of pervy almost.
Yeah, a little pervy and looking very English countryside gentleman like out in the country. So then he's at the house. Nobody explains him.
Nope.
Nobody says why he's there or who he is, but we do see that there is some type of secret ongoing relationship with him and the mom. And from then on, anytime we see them together, they are secretly trying to sneak off and have sex somewhere.
Right. It should also be noted when John Cleese first starts to approach the house after he's watching with binoculars, he's carrying a rifle.
Yep, he's got a rifle, like he's just been duck hunting or something, right? So we're like, is he the groundskeeper?
Right.
And then that gets further sort of supported when we see him taking care of the animals and he and the mom
becomes electrician as
have a sex romp in his cottage, which is on the ground. So we're like, oh, he's the groundskeeper.
Yep.
Right? Sort of. We'll get back to that.
He possibly is the groundskeeper, but there's also...
Well, he's definitely the groundskeeper, but we think that's all he is at the moment, but it is not.
There's an also.
And the kids are in the annual nativity
play.
Christmas play where the girl has the lead.
Daughter has a lead
Daisy.
Solo.
Daisy is her name. Yep. So there's Daisy and there's
Henry.
And they're the cute little kids. They get into their aunt, the mean fashion aunt, the Elizabeth Hurley aunt's stuff and play with her makeup and
brassiere
and his rat gets loose and chases her. Is it a guinea pig? Oh, they call it a rat. That's right. So anyway, that's how we establish that aunt does not like kids.
Correct.
Right. Elizabeth Hurley does not.
Hammer that in pretty quickly.
Yes, she does not like kids. That's Jackie?
I think it's Jackie, yeah.
Yeah, Jackie. So Jackie does
Joanna.
Not win. Oh, shoot. Joanna. All J's, right? I'm Jackie. Jackie's the slutty. The fiance. Oops. Oh, my God. If I'm having trouble following it and I actually watched it, you guys must be having a terrible time. Okay. So forget about the fiance yet.
All right.
Okay.
I said nothing.
Okay. So three fighting sisters. Mom fucking the groundskeeper, four girls, the mom, the boyfriend,
the husband,
and the groundskeeper.
Yep.
Now, out of the blue, the youngest, who's draped across a couch to show that she's the irreverent younger
the
one.
The rebel.
She lets it fly that she visited her dad. And
well, no, she said that she traveled the United States.
Yeah. But she said she went to Florida and she said dad's in Florida. So this is
they had established that she was in the States. And then she said, where'd you go? I went to Florida.
Yeah.
And that's where I saw.
So she saw their dad, which is shocking to all of them, and met the dad's girlfriend, whose name is Jackie. That's where the Jackie came in. And we're like, oh, no. And all of the sisters are mortified. Like, how could you do that? None of us have talked to dad in forever. And right at that moment, who knocks on the door but the dad and his girlfriend?
It was, I don't want to say a montage, but they pull up to the house in a taxi. Kelsey Grammer's taking out the luggage. And then he turns around to look at the window, and I guess their eyes connect.
Yeah, with the oldest sister, Caroline. Yeah, the one whose castle it is.
Caroline freaks out, runs into the living room where they're all hanging out, down some wine, and is like, Vicky, when you went to visit your dad and, you know, dad in Florida, did you happen to invite him?
And it turns out she did, but she didn't think he would come.
Right.
By the way, that scene is a perfect example of the over the top. So Caroline's little thing that she does, she does this little squeak thing where she goes, right? So she sees the dad
and a lot of
come big wide eyes running in the room, sucking down a whole thing of wine because that's what we do.
Correct.
And then, you know, overreacts. And so it turns out that the youngest one invited him, but didn't think he was going to come. So here he is.
And the husband ends up answering the door.
Yeah, Caroline's husband. Peter.
Mm-hmm. And then it turns into a weird, awkward moment where Kelsey Grammer and Jackie are on one side and everyone else is on the other side of the room, and they're just looking at each other.
And everybody's pissed, and we think, ooh, this isn't going to go well.
Correct.
Right.
And Kelsey Grammer's trying to talk through it, but the mom passes out.
Yeah, his ex-wife passes out in shock. So we're like, oh, God. Okay, so now we just run through a whole bunch of Christmas tropes. Like, there's the Christmas fair that's in
village.
Right, in the middle of the village. And just before the Christmas fair happened, because, by the way, Caroline, type A personality's got a whole agenda for the whole, and she makes them all look at it. So this is when we're having dinner. This is when we're going to the old folks' home. And yeah, so we know as the audience what's going on. We also suspect that the dumb, bumbly, but super sweet dad, Peter, husband to Caroline, has maybe mixed up the bags of gifts and given the kids' gifts to the old folks' home and the old folks' gifts
to the kids.
But we don't know yet. That's just sort of at the beginning, and we're thinking maybe.
Right.
Right? So the night before the Christmas fair, everybody gets in a big brawl, right? Because that's what families do.
Yes.
And the youngest runs off. But here's the best part. She runs off in her sister's boyfriend's Rolls Royce.
That still has their luggage in the trunk.
Well, it has their luggage again because they've already gotten mad and decided to leave.
Right.
So they've repacked up and they've put their stuff. She's driven away with her sister's clothes and her sister's boyfriend's car. We don't know where she's headed. But the audience sees that she's headed to the local pub.
The Plow Inn. Which had a couple of sexual innuendos.
Yeah, sexual innuendos. And she immediately fucks the bartender.
I mean, you're just not even kidding. She walks in.
Like, immediately. Like, she orders a drink, they drink it, and then they're having sex in the bedroom. She won't tell him her name. It's like, this is clearly, we get the idea. She likes meaningless sex. She doesn't want attachments.
Yep.
So they have at it. And then the very next thing, we're at the Christmas fair. So we're like, okay. All of the rest of the families at the Christmas fair, because they're like, well, I don't know what happened to the younger sister, whose name is?
Vicky.
We don't know what happened to Vicky, because she stormed off,
right?
So They're deciding which booths they're going to volunteer at the Christmas fair, because, of course, the whole family has come to volunteer the Christmas fair, right? So Caroline says, well, I'll do the jumble sale, which is, for those of us in America, it's like a consignment type fair. And they're like, no, somebody's already taken care of it. And who is it but Vicky? And what is she selling? Her sister's clothes.
Joanna's high-end right? clothes.
For like a pound here, a pound there. So we have like a great sisterly conflict moment. And then we go over to the wheel that you can spin for prizes. And now the bookish, nerdy...
The Advent Wheel of Fortune.
The Advent Wheel of Fortune. So the bookish, nerdy sister is off to run that.
Because they needed someone charismatic.
Yeah, so they made a big joke about that because she's so uncharismatic, as academic lesbians are.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
So ridiculous. And so they ask what the prizes are, and you can either win a Christmas-themed toilet paper cover, or if you win three times in a row, you get a car. Guess what car it is?
And as she says that, the crowd that is surrounding the car
parts like the sea, and we see that it is the Rolls Royce. Now, this might be the moment where it's most Nickelodeon, Pippi Longstocking-ish. So the boyfriend, I keep forgetting his name. What is his name?
I'll find it in a second here. Felix.
So Felix. Felix is the new boyfriend to the
Joanne,
the super fashionable.
Posh.
Posh, right. So he's the rich boyfriend. So Felix sees that it's his car. And instead of calling the police immediately, he instead spends tons of money and tons of time winning back his own car.
Right. So we see him spin the wheel two or three times, and he's like, I need to keep on playing. And Caroline's like, well, you should let other people give it a shot. And he's like, no, take my credit card.
Right. And so basically he pays for every turn so that he can win his own car back. He doesn't call the police because it was stolen and given away. Right. And there's no title with his name on it or anything.
Apparently
he
can't prove that it's his.
Right. So he wins it back. Okay. So all of this happens. Lots of chaos. Nobody likes each other. Nobody's getting along. So, of course, it's perfect time for a Christmas Eve dinner that she has set up. It's all formal. It's fancy.
And the father, Kelsey Grammer, is slowly trying to mend fences.
Yes, he's trying to mend fences. And the mom, you know, his ex-wife, seems very unperturbed by how...
She's trying to give words of wisdom to the
girls. The only one not mad at him for some reason. And she's busy having sex with the groundskeeper, who we know nothing else really about. So at dinner, it's very awkward. Okay, so what is Kelsey Grammer's character's name in this, other than Dad?
James.
Okay, so James, the estranged father with his very, very young, silly girlfriend, are also vegan. So she's getting horrified by all of the food and that's at the table. And yeah, everything, like super typical, like goofy, I can't eat
granola
anything.
Yeah.
Right. Nobody's talking to each other, but the groundskeeper picks a fight with James. The groundskeeper's name is John.
Yep.
John Cleese's name in the thing is John as well.
Yep.
Picks a fight, gives him a really hard time for abandoning his family. It's only at that moment that Kelsey Grammer calls him brother. And we think, oh, so they're actually brothers. So let's just recap. They're brothers. His ex-wife is sleeping with his brother secretly. And his ex-brother is also, for no reason whatsoever, the groundskeeper on his oldest daughter's
husband's
castle. Like, it didn't come from her side of the family. It came from her husband's.
Right.
But somehow she hired her uncle to be the groundskeeper, I guess.
And the husband inherited the house, castle.
Yeah, so it's like there would be no reason for him to be the groundskeeper there.
Unless he volunteered, but that's
who knows? But so he's there. He's there being the groundskeeper, and he's the brother. They go outside to have a fist fight, which is another ridiculous Disney over-the-top, like swinging at each other.
It started out as a duel where they were going to shoot each other with pistols.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kelsey Grammer's like, no, let's Americanize it. Let's go outside and have a fist fight.
By the way, the way they explain away Kelsey Grammer's lack of English accent. It's just that he's been living in America for a long time and he didn't want to sound English anymore.
Right. So, it was they threw it away in three lines.
Yeah, it was like some expository stuff just so we wouldn't be bothered by the fact that he doesn't have an accent. Like somebody in continuity went, hey, we got to figure out about right, this
Kelsey
accent.
Kelsey Grammer's American.
Right. Why? Yeah.
British
so
family.
So they get in a fight. It's a
one fist is thrown.
Yeah, yeah. So it's just a mess. And in the middle of that, Caroline comes out to throw a bucket of water on them like you would dogs that are fighting. Somehow only gets her dad.
Yep.
He's soaking wet. He's a mess. He's depressed. And he chooses that moment in front of his family that hates him at a place he's not welcome on Christmas Eve to propose to his 20-year-old girlfriend.
Right.
And she says yes, and everything is like weird. And then there's a very strange edit where all of a sudden he's in the room with his fiance now. I guess he had to go get changed because he was all wet.
Right. But it's the cut. Everyone was outside. The mm-hmm. camera cut stayed in the outside.
Mm-hmm.
But suddenly Kelsey Grammer and his now fiance are inside hugging each other.
Yeah, having a moment.
Having a moment.
And she's like, go to your daughters. You know you want to. And he's like, you're wonderful. As if they had something big planned and she was sacrificing to let him go to his daughters.
And then they totally ripped off Star Wars when she said, I know.
Mm-hmm.
Or mm-hmm. Empire Strikes Back.
So he goes out. And now here's the best part. This chaos has brought the daughters all close together. So now they're all getting along, right? And they say they're going to the pub. They invite him to go with them.
Only because he vomited his feelings.
Yes.
He basically said, I regret everything.
I regret, and I'm so sad. And even though it's been 26 years of hating him, these three lines on his way down the driveway somehow win them all over. Now we're in the pub, okay? So the bartender's like, hey, I didn't know you were related to Caroline Christmas, to the sister he fucked one scene ago.
Right, it cuts to the Vicky kissing the bartender saying, hey, yeah, she's my sister, give me beer.
Yep. And they're all sitting together at the table, like everybody, okay? And they're drinking and they're having fun. By the way, this is a great moment for Caroline and her husband, Peter, because for no reason whatsoever, Caroline has not allowed Peter to sleep in the same bedroom with her for 18 months. Now, we are told that over and over again, although we're not really told why, except Correct. That he snores and he spins around in the bed or whatever. And they're only sleeping together now because there's so many people in the house.
Yes.
Right. But he's been banished for 18 months and they reference it, what, easily five times.
Oh, yeah. No,
they talk about that.
Anytime.
Right.
Anytime Peter and Caroline are in the same room. It's
yeah. We find out that they haven't been sleeping together.
Oh, well, Peter also, for whatever reason, just unloads everything to Felix. Like the
expository, who he's just met.
All the expository about the relationship.
Yeah. And he loves Peter her, but Felix. They haven't been doing it for 18 months. So in case you didn't know, they haven't been doing it for 18 months. This is very important. So we see them at the pub getting drunk and having a good time. And like, maybe they're going to do it now because she's all of a sudden loosened up for no real reason.
Gets really close and intimate.
Yeah. They kiss. Everybody's having a great time. They're drinking beer. They're having whiskey chasers. They make a big deal out of that. And then again, in the for no reason whatsoever category, the band stops singing and announces what, Brendan?
They have a bunch of special guests.
Mm-hmm.
All the Christmas sisters are in the building.
I don't know why they know that or why that's a big thing.
I mean, they know it because they see them, but
right. But how does
there's
but
no
the,
big thing? There's
but
no
three
big
out of the four are here visiting. So how does the local band know that there are four of them?
True.
We don't know.
Well,
right.
I mean, they.
They come from all over. The only one they know is Caroline Christmas. But now we know all of the Christmas and sisters are here. So they call them up on stage because that's normal.
Very normal.
And they invite them to sing because there's been no reference to any of them singing ever before. But now they sing. They, of course, invite their dad up because now everything's okay. Even though, I don't know, 12 hours earlier they wanted to kill him. Actually, 5 hours earlier they wanted to kill him.
And it's also at the bar where the intellectual sister they make reference that she is gay.
And comes out to them every Christmas.
And then they make a point to have a camera pointed at a very attractive, beautiful woman that is stealing glances.
Yeah,
at
who's
her.
Checking her out. Yeah. So we're like, oh, they're going to end up together. We don't know how or when, but they're going to end up together. So anyway, everybody gets up on stage and sings. Now, by the way, they don't sing particularly well. They just sing.
It's just drunken, wish you a Merry Christmas.
Yeah, just drunken singing. Okay, so we're back to the house because we're everybody's friends now. Now, keep in mind, if you're keeping track, they have left the fiance, whose name is Jackie, back at home. And she's in a tiny little Christmas dress. By the way, she's in tiny little dresses the whole time. She's your typical giggly 20-year-old trophy wife.
Yep.
In the short time they've been in the pub, she's managed to somehow order, have delivered, and set up the type of Christmas display it would take probably 10 people 2 days to do.
Right. And think of it as your traditional American Christmas.
Like blow up reindeer and snowmen.
Lights all over the place.
Everywhere. And she's about to plug in this comically giant plug. Like like think Acme Bomb with the string out of it.
It's Wile E. Coyote.
Yes, Wile E. Coyote-ish. Stuff. These two plugs, she's about to plug them in and everybody's like, no!
Slow motion chasing her.
She plugs it in and she blows all the fuses because this is an old castle, by the way. So terrible electricity.
Yep.
She blows all the fuses. Now we're in the dark. So we've got some type of French farce thing sort of going on with different people going into different rooms in the dark. And
John Cleese's character is it. So they go to the fuse box. They open the fuse box and there's three fuses, maybe four.
For a castle. Like 12 bedrooms and right. So John Cleese has agreed to work on it all night. I don't know how he knows it's going to take him all night, but he has said all night and hopefully we will have, some electricity in the morning. So there's hijinks going on in the castle as there always is when we're in the dark and people and candles and whatever.
Caroline's passed out.
Yeah. For a moment. Right. Felix is blowing up the bathroom in his room. And so the girlfriend, the snotty sister,
Joanne,
of course, needs to use the bathroom right at that moment. So she sneaks into Caroline's bathroom and she's got a little bag. I guessed it was a pregnancy test.
Right. Because the following shot back in the bathroom is her sitting on the toilet just looking sad.
Yeah. So I was like, definitely pregnancy test. So she felt compelled to take a pregnancy test while her boyfriend was blowing up the bathroom. So she had to take it in her sister's bathroom. I'm sure you know where this is going. She left the test in the toilet. I mean, no, in the
trash can next to the toilet.
Yeah. Now, Peter.
Before we get there, meanwhile, they're emptying out the fridge.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no electricity.
And they don't want the food to spoil, so they're going to put it outside in the cold.
In a wooden box?
I guess. I don't know. Something outside. And all of the food for the next day is going in there. So, and it'll be fine, though.
Yeah, it'll be fine. They make reference that the foxes may get it.
Right, but no, it'll be fine. Now that Peter's done sort of checking on everybody and making sure everybody's okay, he gets to the room where he believes his wife is passed out, but instead she's in the bathroom. And as soon as he's in bed, she comes out in this tiny little pink lingerie, does the most ridiculous dance.
I mean, the dance was like five minutes.
It went on forever. I thought if I were him, I would have, I don't know, either already ejaculated or rolled over and gone to sleep. I don't know. It went on forever and ever and ever.
It was weird angles.
It was weird. It was goofy. It was terrible.
Peter, like, started opening his legs.
Right. It was, there were butt shots of her. It was very badly done. So, it was awkward.
If there was one scene to watch to understand the movie,
just watch that. So they get into bed and she pretends to go to sleep for a second, but then they're at it. So they're having at it.
They're making up for 18 months.
Yes. So fast forward to the next morning. It's Christmas morning, right? So what's going to happen? Well, we're going to have a beautiful, wonderful Christmas morning, except...
Well, we don't know if the electricity's back on.
We don't. They actually never say.
They don't touch upon
they don't
it again.
Ever say that.
So, Caroline gets up. Mm-hmm. She's like, I'm going to go change, and goes into a closet or something. Then it cuts to Peter taking a dump in the bathroom.
And I know you can see where this is going. He finds the pregnancy test.
So since they laid it in heavy that they haven't slept together in 18 months, he looks at the pregnancy test and immediately thinks, oh, my wife's a hussy. She's cheating on me. I'm leaving.
Right. And so he decides to continue the family tradition of the father leaving on Christmas Day, even though it's his castle. And off he goes. He
just gets up and walks away.
Right. Next shot, kids opening gifts. And of course,
they switched
underwear and slippers and things because all of their gifts are at the old folks' right. home. We see a brief shot of the old folks' home where they're on scooters and using...
Playing video games and using the virtual reality stuff
and saying, it's the best Christmas ever. In the meantime, she finds out that Peter left her. She doesn't know why yet.
Well, she's under the assumption it's because he knew that he screwed up the Christmas gift. Yeah, and yep. preemptively just ran away because yep. of that.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, in the middle of all of this chaos, what do we find out? It's time to go.
It's like time for the nativity play.
Yes. So we're back at the old folks' home. We spend a lot of time at the old folks' home.
Yeah.
So we got to go back there because the daughter is going to star in it. And so, you know, Dad, Kelsey Grammer, needs to go out and find Peter and bring everybody back together.
Was it at this point
the
big reveal happened?
No, not yet.
Mm-mm. So the whole family was together when that happened.
Yeah, the whole family was together. So he goes and saves the day by finding Peter, telling him what really happened. And of course, we're cutting back and forth between that and the nativity play going on with the Caroline looking frantically with an empty seat next to her. Will he show up? Of course, he shows up. Everybody's there. We've got Kelsey Grammer there. We've got his
John Cleese.
We've got everybody
all
there.
All the sisters.
Yep, all the sisters. Plus, for no reason whatsoever, the random blonde pretty lesbian from the bar is also there and starts acting like the sister's girlfriend. Like just
right. It cuts to them just standing next to each other.
Canoodling.
Like they knew each
yeah,
other. Yeah,
canoodling. This all happens climatically during the solo that Mary... Yeah, which
daughter.
Is Daisy yeah. playing Mary, sings, which isn't actually in the nativity scene, but she sings a solo. And during that, everybody ignores her and interacts with each other. So Peter and Caroline say sorry to each other. They start making out in the audience.
Yeah, I mean, that's a therapy moment.
Yeah,
right there.
The two brothers are like bonding over that. The new lesbian couple is canoodling. Yep. And the other sisters are all friggin' happy and everything's great. Afterwards, we find out a couple of important things.
Oh, before they left for the festival, the younger sister...
Mm-hmm.
While Caroline is running around the house trying to find Peter, she busts into the little sister's room and
right.
is, hey, have you seen Peter? He's missing. The bartender from before
is in the room.
Is in the room.
And shackled to the bed.
He's laying his
head where the feet.
Yes.
Head where the feet go, feet where the head goes.
And he's tied to the footrest.
Oh, he's not tied. He's shackled with like cuffs and bars and, right. and restraints.
And he has something covering his eyes.
Blindfold. She's done, by the way. She's just checking her phone or whatever.
Oh, yeah. No reference to what we're seeing. Just
right.
that. And I just had
right.
to mention that.
We yes, because that was fun.
Yep.
That was part of the random sex. So some point in the midst of all of this, we get the big reveal. We find out which sister is actually pregnant.
Yep. Joanne.
And Joanne. And Joanne and Felix immediately decide to get married and have babies, even though she spent the whole movie telling us how much she hates babies. And we find out.
Wait, give him. Okay. We'll give you a quick second to figure it out. We'll pause it. Give
okay.
you a second.
Mm-hmm.
Type
mm-hmm.
it somewhere.
Right. So, well, let's give them the lead up. So the girls are saying to their mom, like, how could you forgive him? And they're saying to the dad, like, how could you have left us?
Right. And we.
Drum roll.
We resent you for 26 years.
So then what happens is we find out what I started guessing.
10 minutes in,
which is that he left and he never saw them again because it was too painful to see them because his heart was broken because it was actually their mom.
The mom is the adulteress.
Oh, she cheated on him with
John Cleese,
his brother. So
and she cheated on him and got pregnant
with the youngest daughter. So the daughter that brought him to all of this, the crazy slutty single aunt, is not even his daughter.
Right.
She's John Cleese's daughter.
The in joke that I appreciated was Elizabeth Hurley kept on claiming she was the youngest.
Yes.
So yes. Immediately when they said, "Oh, it's the youngest daughter," Joanne was like, "Oh man, you're not my dad."
Like, we had you when we were teens.
Right.
So yeah. So apparently, the mom only fucks John Cleese when she comes to visit for Christmas. Like, I don't get that at all. Like,
no, it's
bizarre.
I mean, the plot holes are big enough where you can step through them.
Yes. Yes. And everybody's happy, and it's one big happy family, and world is great. Oh, one last trope, because they needed to add the, so out of nowhere, this is not referenced all through the entire movie. But one of the kids or somebody says to the dad,
Jackie,
the fiance says to the dad, the only thing that would make this more perfect is if it would snow.
I haven't seen snow ever because they live in Florida.
They live in Florida. And he's like, well, my last name isn't Christmas for nothing. Right. So snow.
The final shot is the kids sitting on stone steps. I don't know if it's the castle or the church that they're at.
I don't know, but they're catching snowflakes. And
it's such a creepy ending because the camera is panning back and it's this old Renaissance looking house and the music doesn't fit. And then the credits just roll.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Because that's how you end a Christmas movie.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You have to have the obligatory, we haven't seen snow, so here's some snow. By the way, their last name is Christmas only, so they can name it.
Well, not only that, but Peter's last name is Hope. So the hyphenated name is Christmas Hope. Hope,
yes. Just in case you missed any of those references.
They were heavy-handed with certain things.
Yeah, but they really just wanted to be able to call him Father Christmas. Yep. So Father Christmas is back. I give it a rousing 3.5.
Wow. I was going to go with 2.
Mm. Well, I
think 2 is my favorite number so far.
I give it 3.5 just because it amused me.
Right.
Right. And it was so silly. And it felt like it was trying to be over the top. So.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't go all in with like the sound effects and the weird.
Yeah. Like, it was almost like you expected somebody's eyeballs to go like boing, 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 boing. Yeah. And, you know, stuff like that. Anyway.
Ooga.
Yeah. Anyway, so if you're looking for something to fall asleep to or some mindless entertainment while you decorate the tree, I say go for it. Some Christmassy scenes and it looks pretty. And
I mean, there's definitely some chuckles. John Cleese, Kelsey Grammer, can't go wrong with those two.
Yep. So on that note, I say fa-la-la-la-fuck.
And I'm just going to sip my beverage.
Perfect.